We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me over there, as always, the man with the plan, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I'm going to paint a picture for you. Right now, on my shorts.
Are you doing lyrics here?
No. Just from the heart.
From the heart, okay.
I'm going to go top to bottom. I'm wearing mismatched socks as we speak. They're actually ankle socks from our friends at Bombas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing shorts from our friends at Oliver's.
By the way, it's very, very anonymous people on the internet talking via Skype for you to tell me what you're wearing.
Just saying. I know, no, I don't care.
Just saying.
We're way past that.
Yep.
I'm wearing shorts from our friends at Oliver's, and I'm wearing a shirt that I got from our friends at Cotton Bureau. So all my clothing is affiliated with the Solid Verbal right now. And I'm going to tell you this, and it's not a lie. All of it, in some way, has smeared carrot puree. Because it's been a solo dad day. And not only has it been a solo dad day, I made the carrot puree, by the way.
Yeah,
dad brag.
Right.
I recorded 3 podcasts today. And I love The Solid Baby. I love all the podcasts I do. But right now, I'm grinding. I'm hustling. I'm, what do the kids say? Team no sleep.
Yep.
I'm doing it for The Verbal. I'm doing it for Ty Hildebrand. And I'm doing it because, and you can say it's not. You can say, you can veto if you'd like. After making a discovery, along with the kids that say, team no sleep, hustling, driving, grinding, whatever. I think it's Truth Hurts Saturday.
Truth Hurts Saturday.
Because, as I pointed out,
is there a Jalen Hurts potential letdown game against Kansas this week?
The truth about what Jalen Hurts is going to do to Kansas, it does seem like it's going to be painful. But this is more in reference to my new Lord and Savior, Lizzo.
Okay.
And her hit song that I am so fully all aboard that I think is going to apply just at least title-wise. Because Ty, I know you're 100% that bitch.
We were texting about Lizzo this week,
yeah.
FYI.
Let me just finish my complete thought here. I think the truth is going to land pretty hard for a number of teams this Saturday in college football.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
I see where you're going with this, yeah?
You go a month through the season and you're like, well, we can stop the run. Like, maybe we've got a shot against. The truth is going to hurt a lot of teams. There's going to be a reality that's going to set in after this Saturday with the matchups and with LRO situations. The truth is going to hurt. I think it's Truth Hurts Saturday.
Truth Hurts
Saturday. Not intentionally, Jalen, but it's a nice little surprise.
Well, look, now that we're in October officially,
yeah,
we can start naming Saturdays. I realize we started a little bit early.
Yeah.
this year, but that was for good reason. Now we're in October. Because you came loaded for bear with Truth Hurts Saturday, I think we can roll with that. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Good.
Hello, welcome. I'm Ty, he's Dan. This is The Solid Verbal. If you have yet to subscribe, if you're just listening to the show for the first time, you can do so out on Apple, on Google, on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast. Give us a star rating. Give us a review. Anything you can offer will certainly help us get the word out to more college football fans out there. We also do have a website at solidverbal.com where you can find all of our old stuff. There's still a few odds and ends that haven't been updated there, which I'm working on, I promise.
Right.
Solidverbal.com is the website. You can also find a form on the website if you just want to be part of the show. If you want to write in, you got something on your mind, you can fill out the form there. We read all the forms that we get. You can also send us an email at solidverbal@gmail.com. And one final tidbit, if I could, Daniel.
I'm ready.
408 Verbal 1. That's 408 Verbal 1.
What can we do with that number?
408-837-2251 on your touchtone keypad. Call the reverb line as you're watching on Truth Hurts Saturday. Mm-hmm. Let us know what's on your mind. Can be very stream of consciousness. Can be from the stadium. We've had people call from all around the world. Yeah. Literally every continent, maybe not Antarctica, but every continent for the most part has contacted the reverb line. We welcome your thoughts. We mix those together into a little segment we call the reverbs. Our boy Ryan cuts those up,
mm-hmm.
put them together into a 3.5-4 minute segment, play them on Sunday mornings, Dan.
Yeah. So basically to translate what Ty is saying, if you're new to the show, if you're watching a game, if you have thoughts and you just need to get it off your chest, if it's about your team, if it's about a random game, we want to put the emotion of Saturdays into an ongoing segment, a variety of clips that come in called the reverbs that we play on Sunday morning.
That's
to
right.
best capture the emotion of Saturday. So this is just you sounding off. A lot of copycats since we started doing this. Always trust the original.
Absolutely. So thank you, one and all, for tuning in. As Dan mentioned, he's had a day. I've had a day as well. I've been up since 4 a.m. I've been going pedal to the metal since Tuesday at about 4 a.m. So
poor us.
We're very tired. But you know what? Yeah. We're going to do our best here. This show is going to be live to tape.
We're going to keep
editing to a minimum here.
Edit free since 83. Let's rock this.
However possible. Shall we just dive right in, sir?
I'm ready.
All right. So we play this sound at the top of all of our weekly preview episodes. It's for the mm-hmm. window of opportunity. Hopefully by now, if you're listening, you've kind of got the gist of this, but this is when you can get out and be amongst the people and yeah. do your thing as a normal human being. You can be a college football fan and still be normal, unlike Dan mm-hmm. and I.
Go for a brunch date. Go apple picking. Go see the in-laws. Go for a 5K. Do whatever.
We're trying to give you the time during College Football Saturday, Truth Hurts Saturday, as it were.
Yeah.
When you can go out, be amongst the people, do your thing, and still be home in time to catch most of the college football action.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a very good week if you're a normal person with things to do, Dan.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a choose your own adventure week.
You every week you're like, you don't need to watch college football.
No, that's not true. Last week that was true. Not every week.
Just
last week. And a couple
college football's great.
A couple other weeks.
Okay. Boy, at five.
If it's me, I'm planning my night out on the town with the missus.
What?
This coming weekend.
Early dinner? Regular hour? What are we talking? There's two huge games.
Maybe try out the new restaurant. You want to talk about someone committing to the bit? Maybe go see Joaquin Phoenix in that Joker movie.
Is it supposed to be good?
Got like an 84% on the tomato meter.
I don't trust him.
Or 74%. I don't know. Something. It wasn't 100.
Okay.
Seems like it was okay.
Yeah.
Maybe go see Cats again if you're into it. I don't know. Get it in this week because next week is loaded from top to bottom and you will not have the opportunity to do so. I mm-hmm. would say a little bit of a later dinner, if I'm being honest. Maybe go like 7:30. Go to a French restaurant. They like to eat later, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Spanish do like the siesta thing and then they don't eat dinner till like 10 p.m.
Don't go that late. That's a little, I mean, we're in our 30s. Don't go that late, but maybe like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
You don't want to miss Davis Mills.
That's right.
Stanford Cardinal.
Don't want to miss that one. I think your best chance for close games are in the noon or 3:30 p.m. Eastern time slots.
Would you rather? Okay, let's be real here. Would you rather watch Iowa, Michigan, or Ohio State, Michigan State?
Iowa, like Michigan.
You'd rather watch Iowa, Michigan.
Yes.
I guess we could start there, but why?
Why not?
Because there's a very good chance we'll have two bad offensive performances.
All right. So where do you think then? If you don't agree with me.
Right.
What do you think? What's your window of opportunity? I have a track record for being very good at this. So you're it's welcome to offer feedback, but yeah, just know going into it that people aren't going to take it seriously or as seriously.
I'd rather watch Auburn, Florida than Michigan, Iowa. So the Nooners to me are a little more attractive because you're going to get Penn State probably blowing the doors off of Purdue. Texas Tech is going to probably struggle, even though it's in Lubbock against Oklahoma State. I'm not going through every game here, but just some of the ranked teams that are playing at noon. LSU is probably going to do away with Utah State pretty easily, even though I like Jordan Love. So I say take that long extended lunch, or if you're on the West Coast, breakfast.
Listen, Dan,
saddle up for mid-afternoon Eastern.
You need to be inclusive of our West Coast audience. I shouldn't need to tell you this.
Yeah.
But if you're telling them, hey guys, be back in time for noon. If you're on the West Coast, that means wake up, take a shower, and you're in the mix. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room there.
Well, like the games start at noon on the East Coast, and they start at 9. So yeah, noon o'clock is good.
You get what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we dive into the actual games?
I think it's time.
Dan, time. Help. I need picks of the week.
We're starting with Game of the Century at high noon. Big noon, as they call it on the Fox network.
Yeah.
Iowa at Michigan. It's down to about a 3.5-point line in favor of Michigan Wolverines. They're at home. I looked at this one, Dan. I have a bit of a tough time being objective because, as you know, I am the chief architect of the nationwide, it's gripping the nation, the Stink for Stanley campaign.
Yeah, you fourth rounders, take note.
I think you know where my head is at here. Yeah. I will defer the initial read of this game to you, sir.
So we don't know a ton about Iowa. The Iowa State win still, I think, looks pretty good. The fact that it was on the road, the game day was there, and they eke out a W against the Clones, I think it's good. Otherwise, we don't know a lot about Iowa. Now, going on the road to Michigan, I still think it's a tough place to come out with a win. These two teams have played some close games in recent years. I don't think either one of these teams is demonstrably better. I don't think there's going to be a 28-10 situation. I didn't think it with Wisconsin, Michigan either, so who knows? Iowa's run better this season. Their defense is beat up, which worries me, although Michigan doesn't necessarily need a healthy defense to not look great on offense. And Iowa was pretty rough on the road last year. We saw them look really pretty interesting going into that Penn State game, and then they looked really not that interesting. And so that is a little troubling. Nate Stanley has experience. Maybe they're running the ball better this year. I just think you need to do something very well still, even with where Michigan is at, to beat the Wolverines in Ann Arbor. It's tough to win on the road in a situation like that. I have Michigan close. If Wisconsin's a template, it's big play running and defense. And Wisconsin or in Iowa has half of that. I got to see the running game. I got to see the Iowa on the ground on the road in a big spot before I can fully buy in.
See, defensively, Michigan's actually been somewhat vulnerable against the run. And I think that presents an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Wisconsin-Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that presents an opportunity for an Iowa team, which, as you rightly said, has run the football better this season. The caveat is that they've looked great running against Miami, Ohio, Rutgers, and Middle Tennessee.
Right.
Not so much against Iowa State.
Right.
Weird game. Not so much against Iowa State. The thing that I find concerning here on the Michigan side of the coin is that they're 85th in the nation in offensive yards per play, 5.54 per play. And that's after a 52-0 drubbing of Rutgers. For context, that is 200ths. That's the second decimal for you mathematicians out there.
200ths.
200ths of a yard better than Tennessee.
May I add, though,
please?
You haven't fully recognized the fact that Josh Gattis is back on the field. He's not in the booth.
He's back on the field, not in the booth.
He can read the eyes of his players.
I am with you, though. It does strike me as the kind of game that just has to be close because, you know, that these games just go this way. I was more disciplined which is why I think I favor them. They're less penalized. They're more responsible with the football. They've only turned it over once this season. And Michigan's issues on that front, in terms of turnover margin, have been well documented, at least on this show. 10 turnovers so far in the early going here. I am taking the less flashy,
okay,
more known commodity at this juncture. I'm going with the Iowa Hawkeyes to keep it within the 3.5-point spread.
It's down that much?
It's down that much, yeah. So again, another situation where I gave you a document and the line changed and I updated it on my copy and not yours.
Yeah, thanks for that.
It opened at 7. Yeah, at one point, it came down to 5. It's down to 3.5 now.
Is 28 points enough? If Iowa scores 28, should they be winning outright?
Should they be or could they be?
I mean, is that what's your number here?
I was going to say something like 28 to 24 Iowa wins.
So anything, so 25 and up, you think, if Iowa can get to?
Yeah.
They should be good. Okay.
I do.
Disagree a little, not emphatically.
I think Iowa wins the game. It'd be an incredible road win for them, but I'm sort of sticking to my guns on the Michigan thing. Not because, again, we have a lot of Michigan people who listen to this show.
Yeah.
I mean no disrespect, at least not overtly. The offense really scares me right now. I read off the yards per play stat. That scares the hell out of me. Doesn't seem like, I'm not going to take that Rutgers game too much to heart. I need to see more data to suggest that they've figured this offense out before I'm going to pick them against a good team.
If Michigan looks definitely worse than Iowa, so not like Iowa is down 24-21, they score a touchdown in the last 47 seconds and win the game, where they look pretty even. If Michigan loses this game, I don't know, 24-7, 24-10.
Wow.
If they, at this point, because I'm at this point now with a team, say, like Texas A&M, where I don't have the will. I can't muster the energy to talk myself into them anymore.
Right.
Is that where we're at? Or is that disrespecting the fact that Iowa is actually capital G good?
It's probably a little of both, to be honest.
Okay.
But if
Michigan,
you're Michigan,
should be better at home
they should
than
be.
Iowa. They should be
they
better.
They should be. They yeah. absolutely okay. should be. So I'm with you. We agree on that point.
Okay.
At the bare minimum. And don't forget, it's solidverbal.com/pick'em. Each week, I pick 10 games out. Our good friends over at Chalkline put together the card. You can go and you can play for free. It's a lot of fun. So go on out there and do it.
Can I request something that will make our job so much easier?
Please.
I don't know if this is a thread on the subreddit. What is it? Solidverbal.com/reddit.com?
Solidverbal.reddit.com.
Sorry, yeah. Yes. Either a thread there or just email us. I remember picking the Mississippi State game against Auburn. I was like, I kind of like the Mississippi State defense. And then we got messages like, guys, Mississippi State's defense is not that good. And that's mostly because I scrub through these games somewhat quickly and I don't pay attention to practice reports for every team in college football. So if you guys could just toss us some intel about your teams that like, not in a good way. I don't want to hear that like, oh, our secondary is underrated. I want to know what part of your team suck consistently.
Yeah.
So I can make my own decision, but that'll help.
And no, that will definitely help.
Throw us some, my team sucks because ... And then we can incorporate the most creative answers into our preview shows.
Hashtag my team sucks because.
Hashtag my team sucks because.
3:30 CBS, Auburn at Florida. This is a big game. Started as a pick'em. Auburn's now a 3-point road favorite. Another game, Dan, quite honestly, that much like the Iowa-Michigan game, could very well devolve into a defensive slugfest. Mm-hmm. Offensively, we don't know a whole lot about Kyle Trask and how
I have some Kyle Trask thoughts.
I'm sure you do, but we don't know a whole lot about how he's going to react to a defensive front like this. And despite the hex you put on Bo Nix, because we know you hate his guts.
It's not even close to
we
true.
We know you hate his guts, Dan.
Not even close.
Despite that, we've at least seen him succeed in big spots away from home. So I think my confidence lies more with Auburn simply because of what we've seen early. Hasn't always been eye-popping with Bo Nix, but at least he's won some key moments away from home.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, his best game was very clearly at home against Mississippi State, right?
Very clearly against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
However, big moments away from home. We've seen him early. And he's done okay. Auburn's undefeated.
Yes, but there's a central tenet of our show, and I don't really have the same fervor and enthusiasm about picking against the spread as I once did.
Sure.
Much to the chagrin of some listeners, I guess. Good defense at home in a tough place to play as dogs? Does that mean nothing to you in 2019? Florida is one of the three most difficult places to play when the team is good, right? In the country.
Sure.
Just in terms of sound and... I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but it's generally kind of sticky, and it's a hostile crowd in a really fun way. Defense should be good. A little beat up, but should be good. I like Todd Grantham. I like this defense. Auburn has a true freshman quarterback, who I think is very promising, who I think has you know,
you hate his guts.
Ceiling.
Admit it. Just come out and say it that you hate his guts.
But on the other side, Ty, I imagine... And this is a place that we can be honest. This is a safer space. I imagine you have not gone back and watched every Kyle Trask throw this season.
You know, I haven't. I haven't had a chance yet.
It's Kentucky. It's Tennessee. I think they had Towson last week. We're not talking about like must-see TV here. So I said, self, let's go look at what Kyle Trask looks like against Tennessee. It's an SEC opponent. It's a bad SEC opponent. Let's see what he looks like. Well, he made some throws, Ty. He's a backup quarterback. He made some throws. And then I watched more and more. And I thought to myself, I might look like that if I were playing quarterback in Florida. He might be the quarterback version of, let's see what this kid can do, kicking a 20-yard field goal at halftime, but at quarterback.
No, come on.
I'm not going that.
He was 18 of 20 a week ago.
He was 18 of 20. The man is Bryant Moniz. The arm strength.
No, come on. Don't do that to me.
Watch. He seems smart. He seems aware. He throws a catchable ball. When scouts talk about a ball exploding out of a quarterback's hand, this is just, you know, like when Wile E. Coyote tries to shoot a dynamite and it just goes.
Right.
There's a little bit, it's a limpiness to Kyle Trask's throws.
You cannot compare any other quarterback to Bryant Moniz's pop gun arm.
Bryant Moniz threw for a lot of yards.
He threw for a lot of yards. He just didn't throw very hard.
Kyle Trask does not throw a hard ball, Ty.
At least compare him to Tommy Rees.
Ty, against...
Or Tom Rees, excuse me.
No. The margin for error against Auburn's defense is so thin that putting things on Kyle Trask's arm terrifies me.
So what if I say like over under two interceptions?
I might take the over.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's going to be pressured a whole bunch and I think he's going to make at least a couple mistakes. I'm not going to go against central tenets of my football picking. I'm going to take Florida as home dogs. Somehow I'm going Gators.
Auburn 23-17.
Okay. Disagree.
3:30, ABC, Texas at West Virginia. The line here is Texas as about a 10-point road
I almost
favorite.
Want to send you a link of Kyle Trask throwing a football for you to watch it live on the show.
Send it to me now.
Okay, let's start talking Texas, West Virginia.
So here is the situation here. Again, Texas, a 10-point road favorite. You may recall that West Virginia won this one last year in Austin. It was a wild 42-41 victory.
Mm-hmm.
And in a vacuum, hey, maybe that's a bit of a revenge spot here for Texas now in Morgantown. Right. But the Red River Shootout's on deck. And clearly that's a bigger game for the Longhorns. They've had that circled all year.
Right.
They're also off a bye week. So I've been wondering all week. Borderline been losing sleep over. How do we classify
so many things?
Yeah, so many things. How do we classify what amounts to an open-faced revenge look-ahead spot? Like, is this a letdown look-ahead sandwich, open-faced with the chili pepper on top? How do we?
Yeah, I was gonna say what is the?
How do we like classify something like this?
A revenge spot. So yeah, there's something poisoning. There's something. It's like an arsenic BLT, an arsenic-laced BLT. I don't know. I'm trying to like a cyanide tuna melt, give me a sandwich that starts with C or an S sound. A cyanide sub? Yeah. Cyanide sausage and pep?
Gosh, I don't even know.
Okay. So we'll again, somebody tell us. Give us a better answer than we can come up with on the fly.
Cyanide sub. It's weird, right?
It's yeah,
very
it's weird. A cyanide sub. I don't think that's the worst.
He has no arm. You're right.
Right?
Whoa.
See, this might be Bryant Moniz.
What? So you're watching the clip of Kyle Trask's highlights.
Oh, boy.
Against maybe the worst team. Vandy's probably the worst team, but one of the worst teams in the conference.
Wow.
And it's almost more impressive that he's completing passes, though, right?
It floats because he's very serenely into the sky.
Yeah. Calm throw Kyle.
Calm throw Kyle.
Yeah.
Good hell.
It's a softer ball. He's a junk baller. He's Jamie
right.
Moyer.
Right. Wow.
I mean, does that adjust your perceptions of Florida's chances at all? I mean, I
feel terrific Auburn, about picking Auburn. I was picking Auburn before I saw this clip. Look at that.
Isn't that wild?
Good Lord.
I mean, that actually makes me, like, I'm impressed with his vision and his anticipation because he's obviously throwing, knowing his limitations.
Every deep ball is underthrown.
It's a lot.
Every
deep ball is in quotes.
Okay.
Calm throw Kyle.
18 to 20, though. So give him credit for that.
That's true.
On the Tues Cruise on Tuesday, you really talked some smack about Austin Kendall. And at one point, you ranked him below Hunter Johnson from Northwestern. This is clearly the home game of the year for West Virginia under now the Neil Brown regime.
Yeah.
He gets his boys playing fired up. 10 at home, I'm taking the points here. I'm taking the points.
Is this de facto Super Bowl?
Definitely de facto Super Bowl.
Why are you taking those? You're taking the points because you think it's going to be an extra motivated West Virginia.
Extra motivated West Virginia. And these home dogs have been howling all year long.
There is every reason to sidle up to your side of this tie. Both are coming off a bye, so a team at home coming off a bye, even if their opponent is as well, always nice. Texas is beat up on both sides of the ball. I think Sam Ellinger has sore ribs. He should play. Colin Johnson has a hamstring issue. We've talked about the secondary injuries that are sort of indefinite right now. It's a long trip for Texas. I did learn that Texas is only going on two actual road trips this
Great.
Season.
Great.
I think it's Iowa State and West Virginia. Everything else is real close in state. So they don't have Kansas schools and they don't have Oklahoma State on the road. And they obviously, their big non-conference was against LSU and Austin. So that's nice, but Texas really hasn't gotten away from Central and Eastern Texas at all this season. So this is the first time we'll get to see that, this version of the Longhorns on the road. I just think West Virginia might be real bad. And Texas's offense has been crazy efficient. I think Texas takes this one. It's just hard for me to look at where West Virginia is getting points. They kind of sneak by Kansas. The NC State win now looks kind of stinky. Nice, but doesn't mean as much right now. So, yeah, I think I'm going to take Texas here. I think Texas
I'm
wins
taking
by
points.
Touchdowns.
No, give me those give points.
Disagree. I have like a 34-17.
Give me those points. All right.
Okay.
7:30 ABC. Michigan State at Ohio State. The line is 20 points now.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. That's a lot of points. Does that feel like a lot of points to you in this game?
In East Lansing, the year was 2018. The final deficit that Michigan State faced was 20 points.
So, wow.
It was 26-6 last
year. So they just did a control C, control V.
Doesn't feel
spread.
Super off point.
Here is the deal.
Yeah.
Last week, I took the points because I looked at some of those advanced metrics that said Ohio State should only be about a 14-point favorite over Nebraska.
Spoiler.
Yeah, and we all know how that worked out. This week, I saw more advanced numbers that had this one at about 18.
Okay.
Do I take the points and risk, again, being betrayed by the advanced metrics, Dan?
Ty, just swing from the hip. Shoot from the hip.
Shoot from the hip?
Your gut. Yeah, like, Nebraska probably has a better offense than Michigan State. Right?
They
have a better quarterback. You think Brian Lewerke is on a similar plane to Adrian Martinez?
Adrian Martinez is more talented. Adrian Martinez can do more, but
who would you start for the fighting Hildies?
I would probably start Adrian Martinez.
Yeah, same.
Okay. I look at this one from the Michigan State standpoint, and I say there have been positive signs for the Spartans in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The offense has been rising up to win some of the bigger moments. They scored over 30 points the last 2 weeks, which shouldn't be as exciting as it is, but still, it's something.
Do you have that metal riff?
I don't have it.
Indiana.
I don't have it. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
I am just having a really hard time getting over the fact that they lost 10-7 at home to ASU. Like, I like ASU. They've got a top 25 defense, but that is not giving me the warm fuzzies here, because when you contrast that with what Ohio State did when they played their own top 25 defense in Cincinnati, they won 42-0.
Yes, they did.
So I am not buying this line. I like that Ohio State's at home. I am trusting the sage advice of newly engaged Verballer Dane when he says that this is the best Buckeye team he's ever seen. I like Ohio State. I like them big. I think they win going away 41-14. Let's lock it up.
Lock of the week.
What do you got?
So, I mean, obviously the big questions are, can Ohio State avoid a letdown after really showing out in an incredibly impressive way for the first time against a brand name Power 5 team this season? Yes, last week. The big thing for Michigan State is, can they make Ohio State march down the field? Can they keep Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins limited enough? It was like, yep, they have to put together 11 play drives to score touchdowns every time. I think there's a good chance they can do that some. I just, the Michigan State offense against this defense, with the secondary flying around, with the linebackers improving from last season like they have, with Chase Young just abusing tackles, can Michigan State get to third and decent pretty often to give themselves a chance to give themselves longer drives? I think the answer is probably not. Probably not. The answer is no. So, I think I'm with you. I think I agree in a big way. I think this Ohio State team is special. There is a letdown factor, but because they can win offensively in so many different ways, that they can run the ball with two guys who can make differences, that Justin Fields can make plays with his legs and his arm downfield, I think it's too scary. And yeah, you mentioned the ASU game for Michigan State giving you the willies. If you're going to look at advanced stats, they could simulate Michigan State, Arizona State for the rest of time. There could be billions of simulations, and basically all of them are going to end 10-7 in one direction or the other. So don't look too much into it. That's just Michigan State's going to throw in one of those every year. Right. That's just a Sparty game that happens. I think it's just, there's too many ways for Michigan State to lose. They got completely murdered, I think, 2 years ago in this game. Ohio State's too strong. It's just, they're a runaway train to me. So yeah, I have them winning by like 4 to 5 touchdowns.
We agree. All right, about time. And then 8 p.m. Fox. We've got California on the road at the defending Red Box Bowl champions.
Where's my hat?
I'm looking for one on eBay.
Keep waiting.
Lines up to 18 now in favor of the Ducks. So I actually need some help here, Dan.
Okay, I'm here.
Chase Garber's out indefinitely for Cal with a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
And last week when he left, the offense pretty much stopped existing when Devon Modster came in, started calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Now Cal's going up against arguably the best defense in the Pac-12.
Yeah. If not the history of the sport.
If not the history of the sport, right. What am I supposed to make of this game here?
So, it the only way Cal, I think, wins this game, because I don't think Devon Modster is going to rise to anything but okay, and that is kind of wait and see for me. That's at the very best right now against this defense, starting in a place like Eugene. So Cal really can only win or keep it close with field position and or turnovers, to me.
Right.
The thing I'm looking for this offense is Oregon gets two of presumably their starting receivers back in this game in Micah Pittman and Brendan Schooler. So offensively, they should look a little bit more dynamic. I still have concerns about their ability to run the ball. This is still a very, very good Cal defense, but I fear that this is a Cal that's back to being half a team. So maybe Cal hangs early, but ultimately, I think 27-13. So whether that means Cal covering the 18-point spread, fine, but I think it's a comfortable double-digit point Oregon win at home. Tough place to play. It should be a raucous crowd for an 8 p.m. Eastern kick, 5 p.m. local. So, yeah, I like Oregon comfortably.
Yeah, I'm taking Oregon minus whatever here because I don't like having to rely solely on Cal's defense to cover the point spread. If they had an offense,
that's tough.
If Chase Garber's
and Justin Herbert did really well against this defense last
year. Yeah, he did.
And he should have more. And I know the defense helped him a lot. I think they had two pick sixes, but they should get even more help from their own defense alley-ooping this year than last year.
Let's go to some other notable games if we can.
Okay.
Can we, if only for a moment, travel back in time? To 8 p.m. on Friday on ESPN, we've got UCF on the road at Cincinnati. Point spread here, 3.5, 4 points in favor of the road favorite, UCF. This is a weird line, if you ask me. I do like UCF to go on the road and get the job done here.
Why?
Part of me feels like Cincinnati isn't as good this season as I expected.
Why? Didn't they just murder a pretty good Marshall team?
They did just murder a pretty good Marshall team, but they got absolutely annihilated against a really good Ohio State team. They didn't even score.
Yeah, I don't care.
And I understand that might not be a fair means of comparison, but
yeah,
I guess I just expected a little bit more from them against a good team.
They won their next game by 22 over Miami of Ohio, which, whatever. And I think Marshall's pretty good, and they beat them by 38.
So you're taking the home dog Cincinnati then, is that what you're telling me?
They're my Yako's home dog of the week.
Really?
Yeah.
The Yako's home dog of the week.
Okay.
Even with, I think they're a top 20-ish team, top 25, top 30-ish team. Their offense, even, and this is Danalytics, just because I appreciate it, in defensive points allowed per drive, even with being shelled 42-0 efficiently, and this is minus garbage time, Cincinnati is still 25th in the country, allowing 1.5 points per drive. And they get a very, very good UCF offense, but good defense at home, Friday night, short week. I think Cincinnati is an underrated place to go see a game in terms of crowd and energy. I think it's dumb to pick a road team in this spot, no matter how
you're
good
dumb
they are. You want to fight?
Give me UCF.
Okay, we disagree. Yeah, I think Cincinnati wins this outright.
12 p.m.
I think it's actually going to be a really fun Friday night game, though. You should watch
I think so, too. I think this is going to be a fun one. 12 p.m. on ESPN. We got Purdue at Penn State. Line open at 16.5. It's up to 28.
What? Last I saw was 25. Okay.
28. Let me be honest for a second here. As I've said time and again, the laws in the great state of Pennsylvania have changed. So legally throwing a few shekels on a game here and there is something that is now at my disposal.
What do you do? You do it through an app?
Do it through an app. Yeah, I'm not going to say which app. But
that's real easy. No, I know. They're not sponsors. But you just load up something on your phone and you don't have to go somewhere. You don't have to
easy peasy. Nothing to it.
Okay, cool.
When I saw last week that both Elijah Sindelar, the Sindelarity as we know him on the program, and Rondale Moore both went down, I leapt up from my seat, ran to my computer, and I snagged Penn State at -14.5.
Beep, bop, boop, beep, bop, boop, 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 beep, boop, bop, boop.
Okay. -14.5. The line opened at 16.5. It has since ballooned up to 28. I've already got my pick in for this one. So whether or not they win by 28 doesn't really matter much to me. I am on the books for Penn State -14.5. I don't know what to expect out of Purdue. If they don't have their chief playmaker and their starting quarterback, that seems to be a bit of a problem for them, especially on the road against a Penn State team that just beat the crap out of Maryland in a tough spot. Quite honestly, Maryland had canceled classes before that game. They went into College Park.
Uh-huh.
They blanked them on a Friday night. So I'm all in on Penn State here.
If I had known that Elijah Sindelar would get hurt, I may have suggested drafting Jack Plummer is not related to Jake Plummer as a fantasy thing. Because he's not, even though he's from Arizona.
That's so good. That is so good.
Thank you. Because one of us definitely would have said something.
Yeah.
Had I not just freak looked it up. And two, your Booger McFarland situation from last year still haunts the show.
It's still, the scars are deep. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we could not have predicted that injury. This feels limb from limb. It does.
Yeah.
maybe Jack Plummer is pretty good, and he definitely improved some in his time playing, but the picks are not great, and he's young, and to do this in state college, I don't know. What Penn State has maybe, I mean, it's at Iowa next week, right?
At
Penn
Iowa.
State. It's at Iowa. Iowa, then Michigan, at Michigan State, and then a bye. So it's a triple-decker open-face look-ahead,
sure.
Maybe.
Sure.
That's my case for Purdue, because the defense, which started out really impressively in the Nick Holt era when he arrived in West Lafayette, has gotten progressively worse. And I can't find a reason. I can't. So I guess it's Penn State minus anything. So yeah, I'm going Penn State big.
12 p.m. TCU at Iowa State. Iowa State's a 3.5-point home favorite. Some of you may recall, not all of you listen to the Twos Cruise yet, but
what are you doing?
We labeled this month the Hunt for Red Brocktober.
Yeah.
Let's get that dramatic score in there.
I love a good swell.
In honor of your boy, our hero, yeah. Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
For Iowa State. The question remains, how will the clones rebound after that comeback gut punch, I guess is how you classify it, on the road in Waco last week, where they came back from 20, could have won, but didn't, lost, you know, in the last second field goal by John Mayer. How do you feel here?
I'm going to simplify things. Ames is difficult. This game was close in Fort Worth last season, obviously a very different team as TCU, even though I think you broke up with them a couple weeks ago on the Twos Cruise.
We don't talk about that anymore, Dan.
I think things are kind of rocky between you and the Frogs.
It isn't love. It isn't hate. It's just indifference.
I don't hate TCU's defense, at least what I've seen of them. Didn't love them against SMU, though. And I think Iowa State's in a pretty good position. I think they probably overlooked Baylor a little bit going on the road, thinking that they could probably just figure out a win. They couldn't. They really couldn't for the first three quarters. The thing I'm looking at here is TCU right now is only going as far offensively as their running game is going. The clones have been very good against the run, and they're playing at home.
Yeah,
I think it's still difficult to go to Ames without a competent, complete team and win. So I'm going clones here. I think they win this by 5 or 6, something like that.
We agree! Moving on, 7 p.m. ESPN, Georgia at Tennessee. Georgia, 25-point road favorite. Okay.
That's a really good introduction for, maybe you put that on the 2020 Tennessee poster. You're just like,
yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah.
I mean no disrespect.
A lot of points.
I mean no disrespect to Tennessee here.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel, what would it take for you to hashtag consider Tennessee?
I suppose a Mayflower truck with a bound up Lincoln Riley, Kyler Murray, Ohio State's defense, all just tied up and forced to wear orange against Georgia. I don't know.
I saw this line. It struck me as low. I realized Georgia's on the road and that Tennessee is not the easiest place to play in the world. I just don't know what I'm latching onto here.
Oh, hold on. Ty, breaking news here. Tennessee is the easiest place to play in the world. Right now, in 2019.
This is true.
There are a couple of early season opponents that are willing to write a letter of recommendation for playing in Knoxville.
I don't know what I'm latching onto here if I go Tennessee. Okay. So I have to go Georgia just by principle minus the 25.
Yeah, I agree.
10:30 ESPN. Washington at Stanford. Washington now a 16-point favorite. My issue with Stanford is that I kind of along the same lines as Tennessee, I don't really know what I'm betting on here.
Right.
If I'm picking them to win, even if I'm picking them to cover against a team like Washington that, granted, maybe isn't as bulletproof as they have been, but they're still pretty rock solid. They're a very good football team. I don't know what I am banking on here if I pick Stanford, even plus the points. Plus, their pass defense has been dreadful this season. There's a chance that your boy Jake Eason throws for like 400 in this game and Washington wins going away.
I thought I saw something that Washington hasn't thrown a touchdown pass against a Power 5 team in an alarming number of quarters. Can that be true?
I mean,
I'm looking at Jacob Eason right now. He didn't throw a touchdown pass against USC. He didn't throw a touchdown pass against Cal. So you have to go back to last season for the last time a Washington quarterback threw a touchdown pass against a Power 5 opponent. So
I think it happens this week.
You think it happens this week?
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think you're right in saying, I don't know what I'm betting on with Stanford. They edge out Oregon State, but Stanford's done, they've looked bad before. I don't think they've looked this bad. Could be a letdown spot for Washington. It's Pac-12 after dark. I dislike using the crutch of like weird things happen at night and Stanford might be good, even though we've never seen them look good this year. So right. I'm just going to go with Washington just because I hate fully going generality. I'm going Huskies here. They're not going to let Stanford do anything on offense.
All right. I have a question. It's a very important question.
My answer is sometimes with an ointment.
If I rattle through like, I don't know, 10 games, let's say,
mm-hmm.
do you have it within yourself to give me like 5 to 10 seconds? Real quick, rapid fire on each of them.
Sure.
12 o'clock, ABC, Oklahoma at Kansas. The line was up to 35. It's down to 32. Public money coming in on the Jayhawks. Who you got?
I'm going to give you haikus for all of these.
Okay.
Limb from limb, I like the Oklahoma Sooners to beat up Kansas. That was first
Did
attempt,
that work?
575.
Did that work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm counting with my fingers as I go, but that's 575.
I would take Oklahoma here minus whatever.
Yeah.
12:30, ACC Network, if you get that. Boston College at Louisville. Louisville up to a 6.5-point home favorite here, Dan. Who you got?
Louisville has Hurts. Yes, their QBs are injured. Go BC. There it is, 575.
So you're taking BC plus the points.
Yeah, I don't love that Malik Cunningham and Puma Pass are both beat up. And obviously, coming off a bye is nice. But I'm going to go with BC to get things going, especially on the ground, all the way to a win.
I think I agree here. I don't know if they win outright, but 6.5 feels like a lot. It opened at 3. Mm-hmm. I would have been inclined to go Louisville minus the 3, but 6.5 feels like a lot to me.
Okay.
3:30, NBC, Bowling Green at Notre Dame. Notre Dame a 45. Wow. And a 0.5-point mm-hmm. favorite. It is Brian Van Gorder's homecoming, which is exciting for a couple folks out there.
Yeah.
Notre Dame also has USC on deck, which could be a potential look-ahead spot for them. I know it's a lot of points. I think Notre Dame goes for the jugular, if at all possible. I would never touch this game with a 10-foot pole. You know, my policy, I usually take the points against Notre Dame, so I'll do that here. Just because 45 is a lot. Out of sheer principle, I don't know if I want to lay that many points.
Give me the Irish. Give Brian Kelly lifetime contract now.
Haiku Saturday coming at you here. Okay.
Yeah, next.
I'm impressed by your improv haikuing ability.
It's real bad, but it's serviceable.
3:30, ESPN2, Baylor at K-State. K-State, a 1.5-point home favorite. I am very curious to see how Baylor responds a week after their triumphant collapse. I am taking them plus the points here. I like them on the road. I think Baylor is a really good team. Give me the Bears.
Baylor let down. Yeah. Sorry, that was the worst.
Just stop there.
That was the worst first five. No, I'm not stopping there. K-State has questions for sure, but I'm going Wildcats.
That was actually pretty good. That came together nicely.
I think Manhattan's a tough place to play, and it could be a letdown for Baylor. So, yeah, I'm going Cats here, even though I think they'll get their run defense fixed sooner rather than later. I do like their defensive coordinator, Scotty.
3:30 ESPN, Virginia Tech at Miami. Miami's a 13.5-point favorite. An exorbitant line, if you ask me. But I don't think you could pay me to bet on Virginia Tech right now. Like I don't want to go anywhere near that. This line opened at 8.5. It ballooned up to about 2 scores. I guess I got to go Miami here because I would not want to be on the Virginia Tech side of this.
it's bad to bet. Hoke.
Hoke?
I ran out of syllables.
Go Tech.
I'm going to stop the haikus. I'm going to stop. Yeah. Oh, Tech is nice. It's a bad matchup for Tech, and that's even worse than usual because throwing into this Miami defense should be problematic for a careless and poorly called Virginia Tech offense. So I think Miami at home, yeah, I think they can win by a couple touchdowns. Sure.
3:30 Big Ten Network, Illinois at Minnesota, lines about 14. I am certain of two things in this game. A, that Minnesota will win. And B, that they're not covering a two-touchdown spread. Here is what they have done so far this season. They won by 7 over South Dakota State, by 3 over Fresno, 3 over Georgia Southern, and 7 over Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I am not
back pretty valiantly with a backup quarterback.
I am not going to apologize for taking Illinois plus the points, but Minnesota outright.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think I'm going to go Illinois as well here. Minnesota wins this game, but they've had problems separating, and Illinois can run the ball. I'm probably not going to watch a lot of this game until Sunday morning, but yeah, give me the Illini. Drive to six. It's something to pay attention to for the hashtag drive to six.
4 p.m. Fox Northwestern at Nebraska. Nebraska 7.5 points the favorite at home. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think there is a very good chance that Nebraska beats the hell out of Northwestern. One of two things happens here. Yeah. It's either a 21-14 game that Northwestern covers by like that half point hook, or it's 42-3. I don't think there's any chance Northwestern wins, but I think the truth of this game is somewhere in between those two extremes.
Very big letdown possibility for Nebraska. Just tail between their legs. Not letdown, but just extended reaction.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the points here. I think Northwestern's defense should travel all season long. I think they're going to ugly this game up. So I have it like, I don't know, 17-13 Nebraska.
4:30 Pac-12 Network, Arizona at Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
The Buffs, a 4.5 point home favorite. This one, I think, is a lot of fun.
Why?
A lot of fun. Two interesting offenses, maybe not a lot of defense. I like that it's early on for us old folks, so we can enjoy it before bedtime. Typically, this feels like the kind of game that'd be on at 10:30. So kudos. This is a coin flip to me. An absolute coin flip. I would not bet this one if you don't have to. Breaking news, though, Dan. I put this in the Solid Verbal Pick'em slate for this week. So I'm making everyone pick. I like Arizona plus the points here. I think this has shootout potential, and I want to be the one getting points, not giving.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't seen anything. Is there Khalil Tate updates?
I have not seen.
He didn't play last week.
Yeah, I didn't see yet.
So without knowing that, even though I do like what I saw from Grant Gunnell last week, who is, I think, a true freshman for Arizona. I'm just going to go with the home team. I think true freshman quarterbacks on the road, they're due for some stinkers.
All right, two games very quickly, 7:30 SEC Network. We've got Vandy at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, 7-point home favorite. Who you got?
I'm a Michael Reese Plumlee believer, so give me the Rebels.
I'm with you. And finally, 9 p.m. Pac-12 Network, Oregon State at UCLA. UCLA, 5.5 points, a home favorite. I am fascinated by the Bruins, Dan.
Are they the Dudley from Royal Tenenbaums?
I am fascinated.
Pac-12?
By the Bruins.
Yeah.
Here is what UCLA has done in their 5 games this season. They have scored 14 points, 14 points, 14 points, 67 points, and then 17 points again last week. We're looking at that Wazoo game, I think, as potentially the last shot out of the UCLA Roman candle, Dan.
For the entire season?
It could be. It could be.
Oregon State's my lock of the week. They're going to win this game outright.
Lock of the week.
I like that a lot, too. I didn't lock it up, but they're scoring 34 per game. Getting points against the UCLA team, which who the hell knows which direction they're headed.
That's a bummer of a stadium to be a home team playing in.
Yeah.
When team's not good, it's a night game, it's Pac-12 Network. I mean, I like the Pac-12 Network, but this is not a high-profile UCLA season.
That's all I got. We covered a lot of ground here tonight. Thank you to everyone who tuned into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Please, by all means, give us a call at 408-VERBAL-1. Very stream of consciousness, that reverb line. Let us know what's on your mind as you're watching the games. You can also
real quick.
Yeah.
First of all, before I make a request, the maybe worst offense in the nation is playing maybe the worst defense in South Florida. USF's going to play UConn. Tulane Army is kind of interesting. I mentioned Utah State, LSU. My request is, if it's not too much of a trouble, could you drop that rubbing, reckless, ragged, big stanky drum and fife?
Did I catch a little alliteration in there, Dan?
You did. We're not necessarily doing alliteration with our Saturday titles.
No.
But the Pat League Lightning round.
You're evolving. Lehigh, yeah.
Lehigh at Colgate.
Ooh.
Bummer of a year for the Gators.
By the way, Colgate has not done anything since we made the move to go and see them out in Fargo.
I think we cursed them. We're the little B.
I'm going Lehigh here outright on the road at Colgate.
Looking, pulling up the Colgate, the Pat League standings. Yes, Colgate 0-5, Lehigh a thunderous 1-3. Let's go Mountain Hawk Engineers here.
All right, 1 p.m. We've got Fordham at Yale. Dan, who you got?
Fordham sort of looking decent. Yale looking real good. Give me the Yaleys actually to take down New York's one true team.
Fordham beat Richmond last week, if I saw correctly.
Yeah.
Which is a decent win because Richmond's usually pretty good. Give me the Rams. True team in New York.
Yep. Next up, we've got, the Crusaders traveling to the Nellies of Bucknell.
Nellies are terrible this year. They're terrible. Got to go Holy Cross. Give me the Holy Cross.
Crusaders. Gordy Fickbaum?
That's
the name I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Georgetown Cornell. The other Nellies.
The other Nellies.
Away from the Hornets Nest at his multi-sport field. Georgetown traveling to, I believe, Cornell's in Ithaca, New York.
Okay.
I don't think you like taking Georgetown, but Georgetown's the class of the Bat League this year.
I'm going to go Georgetown. I'm going to go Georgie's here.
We're going Georgetown. They're bringing that energy from multi-sport field up north to Ithaca. Give me the Hoyas.
All right, Dan. I am running on fumes. I feel like Kyle Trask's arm right now.
That really did take you by surprise.
I had no idea.
I don't watch that many Florida games, but Richard Johnson, our friend, comes over to watch Saturday games with us sometimes, or me, and Jody with an I sometimes. And I've asked him about Kyle Trask. I'm like, yeah, he's Kyle Trask. And I never know how to take that. And now I think I do.
What is the maximum distance that Kyle Trask could be standing from a pane of glass and break the window?
Oh my God.
Could he do it from 20 yards? Could he do it from 20 yards?
I was 18. It's 60 feet, if my math serves.
A standard Anderson window.
I'm going to say spider veins, but not, he spider webs it, whatever it's called, but he does not shatter it like through.
Wow. So you're going under 20,
yeah,
basically.
Correct. Yeah. There's cracklings, but not the full shatter.
solidverbal@gmail.com. Write in and let us know what you think.
give us a number.
We're also on Twitter at solidverbal. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, all the usual hotspots. As we said earlier in the show, it's solidverbal.reddit.com if you want to keep the conversation going long after the final bell of the show. It's community started by verballers for verballers by our good friend Peter.
Yes,
who runs
and
the sub.
Either it'll be a thread or just email us, my team sucks because. And that helps. Yeah.
Could go hashtag, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Daniel.
That's it. That's all I have.
That is all I have in terms of content, in terms of energy. I think we laid it all out in the field tonight.
We did.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt. Enjoy the rest of your week, all of your college football. Saturday, we will be back early Sunday afternoon to recap all of this week's action. In the meantime,
peace.